Hi and welcome to Social Work Sorted, the podcast. I'm Vicky Shevlin, I host this podcast and I lead Social Work Sorted, which is an online platform of resources for newly qualified social workers. I provide CPD accredited training for students and new social workers, and I have a monthly membership, The Collective, which is for students and new social workers. I share video resources to support you in practice to help you get through your first year in social work without burnout and set you up with skills for life. The Collective is in its first month, and the first month has been amazing. The group of students and new social workers are just wonderful people. Obviously, I'm bound to be biased, but there is so much insightful conversation and questions inside the private group space, and it has been such a pleasure to be able to share the video resources with them and also be able to respond to the questions that they have asked about practice. We have a live Q&A every single month, and it just provides the opportunity for us to be in conversation and to talk through things that are happening for them on placement and in practice, or confidentially, or with anonymous sharing if they are sharing case studies. But I suppose it's an extension of what I do with Social Work Sorted. And in this episode, I want to talk through the theme of this month, the theme of October. I've been focusing on the voice of the child and direct work with children and young people, because it's something that comes up time and time again when people ask me questions or they need help in practice. And it's something that comes up consistently in reviews that are undertaken. It's been a common theme that we have to listen more and more to the voices of children. And actually, how do we do that as a social worker? And more specifically, how do we do that in the context of child protection, because it brings up so many complexities. And that is really what we have been focusing on this month inside The Collective. So if you are a newly qualified social worker and you are working in children's services, whether that's duty and assessment teams, child protection, care proceedings, children who are looked after by the local authority, or you are a student on placement in any of those areas, then this episode will be for you. I want to talk through some of the things that have been coming up, some of the resources that go into a little bit more detail. And this is going to be really helpful reflection and food for thought if you are undertaking direct work with children and you are trying to seek and share their voice. The first thing that I think is so important to think about is the legislation and the guidance, because we are, if we're working on local authorities, we are working within the remit of statutory guidance and legislation. And it's so important that we understand that statutory guidance, that legislation, and how it connects to things like direct work. For example, times when you need to ask for parental consent to see children alone, what to do if you are not asking for consent. So if a decision has been made that you are going to see a child and undertake direct work and get their voice, but you are not going to be seeking the consent of parents. And within the video resource inside The Collective, I break that down for you. So I talk through section 17 and section 47 and the differences between them in terms of the permission you need, the steps that you need to follow to see children and to see them alone, because you have to be operating within the law. And it's important that we are working with children and with parents with openness and honesty. And to be able to do that, you have to have an understanding of how the law connects to that. Again, when you are then thinking about undertaking direct work with children, it's important to think about the environment. So whether you are seeing a child in their home, whether you are seeing them in school, whether you're going out for a walk, whatever it may be, what can you influence about the environment? So thinking about how our environment impacts our senses and how it impacts the senses of a child. So even before you are entering into conversation or entering in or introducing a piece of direct work, one of the resources inside The Collective, I talk about how you can impact the sensory experience of a child in order to support them to be in as calm space as possible to then enter into that direct work with you. And there are a number of different ways that you can do that. One of those things, which I talk about more in the video resource, is thinking about the light within a room or the fresh air within a room wherever you are. Maybe playing music, maybe thinking about calming breaths, and I give lots of examples of ways that you can do that within the collective. But being mindful that before we even begin that direct work, we can have an impact on the environment and the energy and the space that we want to create. The next thing to think about is introducing yourself as a social worker, knowing that a child will have preconceptions or assumptions about social workers and what they do. That child is likely to be very scared. That child will have heard different things about social workers. And so you are not entering into the space just as you. You are entering the space with lots of ideas attached to you and your profession before you even begin a piece of direct work. So how you introduce yourself and how you explain things like consent, how you explain information sharing is so important. And how you explain social work as well, checking in with the child, what do they know about your job and what you do before you go into an explanation? So you can reassure them, so you can be honest with them, so you can tell them the truth, and because that matters as well, and so that you can understand the things that they might be afraid of. And inside the collective, we go into this in much more detail in terms of introducing yourself and some of those common challenges that come up when children, quite rightly, talk to you about the ideas they have about social workers and what social workers do. Even if they don't feel accurate to you, they are very real to that child, and it's important that we talk to that child about them. The next thing to think about is resources, tools, things that you can use for direct work that move beyond colouring pencils and a piece of paper. And that's not to dismiss how powerful things like art therapy can be, and any activities that are influenced by play therapy or art therapy, because that's so important. But as a busy social worker, what are some of the things that you can use and refer back to when you have not that much time, when you have a specific piece of information that you need to share or that you would like to talk to a child about? Different tools and resources that are actually practical and don't require a great amount of, I suppose, that don't require you bringing a giant box of things around that isn't particularly practical for you. And again, we go into detail about those things within the collective, but just start thinking through, what can you have with you? Is it possible for you to have a key ring on your bag that you always have on every single visit, and it starts to create that bit of consistency for a child? Is there a soft toy or a teddy that you can bring with you that, again, particularly if a child is younger and perhaps seeing a lot of quote-unquote professionals, they might find it quite hard to differentiate between those people. And so if you have an object of reference that is always there with you, whether that is the teddy that you bring with you every time, again, it helps to support consistency for that child. And it can also be a prop, it can be an object, it can be something that you talk to, it can be something the child talks to. You can do different role plays and conversations. So again, it's something really easy and simple that you can have with you, and it isn't something that is overcomplicated for you when you are feeling busy, stressed, and overwhelmed. Again, for older children, and even for parents, when we're thinking about direct work and trying to get the voice of children, there are so many different activities that you can use. I very often refer back to a book, Direct Work with Vulnerable Children, by Helen Wosu and Audrey Tate, and there is a whole series in that, there's a whole series of those books, which I'll link to in the show notes. But within the collective, the power of that space and being able to produce those video resources means that I can actually show how I use those in practice and how I've always used different tools and resources in practice. So you have examples, but I suppose for me, the best support that I had was actually seeing social workers do things in practice and talking, having them talk things through. It was never enough for me as a new social worker to just have somebody explain something to me. I needed to see how it worked in practice, and I needed to be able to ask different questions about that. And that is what I'm able to do within the collective. And I know so many of you, the members that are listening, have found that really helpful. And those of you who are thinking about joining, those of you who are on the waiting list, ready for that to open on the 1st of November, I know that you are so ready for those resources. All the resources inside the collective are videos, so it is recording of me with a presentation so I can talk you through areas that I've mentioned today, so legislation in practice, introducing yourself to children, setting up the idea of what a social worker is, direct work resources that you can use that are really simple for you to have on you, particularly if you're very busy, specific tools and resources and how you use them. And going into next month, November, we are going to be focusing on child protection processes, strategy meetings, and how you can manage a strategy meeting as a newly qualified social worker, the questions that you can ask. How do you know if the person chairing that strategy meeting is doing everything that they're supposed to be doing? And what do you do if they're not? Talking through Section 47, what that looks like in practice, what an investigation should look like in practice, and some of the common challenges that you would have using genograms in practice, because that's something that one of the members brought up and they have said that they will find that really helpful. So it just allows me to be in a position to respond to you as and when you need to create a resource, a video that is 10 to 20 minutes long, so it's easy for you to access in a short space of time and you can come back to it again and again. There is also, as I've mentioned, the members forum. Someone put in a question about writing case notes and the difference between writing a case note to a child and turning that into something more formal for a court document. So I've been able to put an example of that in the forum so people have that to refer back to. If you are interested in joining the collective, it is a monthly membership at £15 per month. Once you join, you access all the video resources, you get immediate access to the forum to start asking me as many questions as you want to. We have a live Q&A which happens in the final Wednesday of every single month that everybody is invited to. You can send me questions in advance or you can just turn up on the day, be in conversation with me. There are no minimum terms to the subscription. So if you want to join for a month and then you feel like you've had everything that you need, you are able to leave. So I didn't want anybody to be tied into something and feel like they can't ever get out of it. That's not what I'm about. So that is why there is no minimum term of subscription. So like I said, you can join for a month, see what it's like, and then if you want to stay, you're more than welcome. All the links are in the show notes to join. If you are listening to this in October, then spaces open up again on the 1st of November. So you can join the waiting list and you will be the first to know about spaces when they open up. If you are listening to this beyond November, if there are spaces available, you'll be able to click the link in the show notes and go straight to joining. And if we are at capacity, then the link will take you to join the waiting list. So it will depend on when you are listening to this. If you have any questions about whether this is relevant for you, then get in touch with me, vicky@socialworksorted.com. Everything within the collective is produced for newly qualified social workers in practice. But because there are so many similarities between, and it's not the same, which I'm very clear about, but there are lots of similarities for students on placement, it is appropriate for students who are on placement in a children's services setting. I have social workers from England, Scotland, and Wales inside the collective. The legislation aspect predominantly focuses on legislation in England, but they have found that it is relevant and helpful for practice in Wales and in Scotland. And if they have specific questions about legislation there, then I always answer them in the best way that I can. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, get in touch if you've got any questions. If this was helpful, let me know. Leave a rating. It makes a massive difference for me and it takes a couple of seconds. And I will leave you to slow down with me before we go. To close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Take a deep breath. Relax your shoulders. And enjoy a very short pause in your day, knowing that you can come back to it whenever you need. Thank you so much for listening and take care.